Rising Shout Podcast, CougarFan.com, Rising Shout Podcast, episode 419 for the second week in a row, because last week I said it wrong. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Nobody commented on that, by the way.
Commented on what?
That it was the wrong episode number. I said 419 last week, but it was actually 418.
Oh my gosh.
No one's keeping track anymore. Right? Like... But I thought Sweeney or somebody would be like, whoa, dude, don't get ahead of yourself there, buddy. Don't get ahead of yourself. Speaking of Sweeney.
Yes, Sweeney's usually on those types of details.
Yeah, speaking of Sweeney, he's got our opener for us this week.
Sweeney!
And our closer, I think, when we get to it here later. Okay.
Wow, that's versatility right there.
That is. He says,
way to go, Justin.
Rank Oreo sandwich styles. Yes, sandwich in parentheses with question marks. Mine, thin mint, regular, thin lemon. Also, how many do you eat in a typical serving? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag entire sleeve. All right. What is your favorite Oreo style?
There's only one correct answer to this. It's the mega stuffed. It is absolutely the mega stuffed.
I don't like the mega stuff.
Oh, I can't eat the regular Oreos anymore.
You can't eat them? Like if somebody puts them in front of you, you refuse?
Pass.
What? You're nuts.
But my second is definitely the thin lemon. They're onto something there. The thin lemon is flipping delicious.
Okay, so mega stuff. I like double stuff. Mega stuff and like triple whatever is a little bit much.
Mega stuffed is the only true Oreo.
Okay, I don't know what that means. What do you feel about the golden Oreo?
It's all right. Golden Oreo's good.
I like a golden Oreo. I have to say the double stuff.
Double stuff. That's like junior varsity.
You're junior varsity.
It's the junior varsity of Oreos.
What do you think about the Thin Mint?
Thin Mint's good. I take the Thin Mint as the third. So I'm going Mega Stuffed, Thin Lemon, Thin Mint.
I do not eat organic Oreos. I refuse.
Is that a thing?
Apparently. I'm looking at this list of Oreo things, and they said it's organic Oreos made with organic flour and organic sugar.
But you have to buy like specifically organic Oreos, or Oreos are already organic?
They're
we
not.
Actually had this conversation with a group of people, and there was somebody who thought that they were, and we're like,
they're 100% not organic. Yeah, they're definitely not organic. They're
that
definitely
not
organic.
Thing. Sorry. Awkward.
So, interesting. Cool Mint. Peanut butter Oreos, have you had those?
Yeah, they're good. And I'm a big peanut butter guy, but they're okay.
Birthday cake Oreo, I was not a fan of.
Did not try it.
That was a while ago. I think it was like a special edition or something.
Must have been somebody's birthday.
I think it was their birthday. I believe. And
well,
do you like the pumpkin spice Oreos?
No. Pumpkin spice, like, its time has passed, everyone.
No, it hasn't. It comes every October. I don't know what you're talking about, that it's past.
Time to let that go.
All right. So we've tacked that. Well, let's go ahead and climb on into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So David Mangum, that's at David Mangum on Twitter. And, of course, you can tweet at us at BYU_RiceShop. He says he wants to know something else about that's our favorite. Our favorite touchdown celebration, hashtag tweet bag, hashtag climb on in. The icky shuffle, Matt, is that your favorite?
I like the one. Shuffle. Was it Chad Ochocinco who put a cell phone camera in the padding of the goalpost?
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
And pulled it out and took a picture and like texted it or tweeted it or something.
I like the bowling one when they coordinated. I forget who originated that one, but where the linemen or a few other people line up and he bowls and they all fell over.
They all fall down. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I like that one. Ochocinco had a bunch of them. You know, he was highly
the popcorn.
Creative. Popcorn was
good.
He
the popcorn or was the popcorn that was that T.O. with the popcorn? I think that was T.O.
That might have been T.O. But there was a bunch of creativity, and I'm all for touchdown celebrations as long as they don't take too long. The peeing dog, not so much. That was a bad one. It's become a meme.
How about Steve Sarkisian in the Cotton Bowl at the end of the 1996 season? You knew there was a 1996 football story in here.
Seriously.
Scored a touchdown, and he did a lasso and threw it over to the Kansas State sideline and, like, pulled on it.
Nah.
That's a good one.
Not really.
Right.
You know,
I had to throw something in.
I like the simplicity of the Gronk massive spike, and a few other people do that.
Yeah, that's a good move.
There's some simplicity, and Brady did it a few times, and a bunch of other players have done it. But maybe some of the best are Barry Sanders. The no celebration, touchdown celebration.
Yeah, those are good.
When you
Bo
run
Jackson
for like,
running into the
running into what? Into the tunnel?
Yeah.
Or you score an 80-yard touchdown, and then you just hand the ball to the ref. I guess that's not a celebration. How about you high-five the ref? That's a pretty good touchdown celebration.
High-five the ref, Riley Nelson style. Here you go.
Yeah.
Who was it that hugged the ref?
Oh, that was...
It was a receiver, maybe?
Yeah, it was a receiver.
But Riley Nelson's high-five of the ref was pretty sweet.
Well, it was spontaneous, right? You know what I mean? It's like, you can't replicate it, because if people start high-fiving the refs, there's going to be flags, right? But that
he's
guy,
lucky
just,
they didn't, like,
the guy was either surprised enough or just was like, thought it was pretty funny.
Right.
All right. Eric had on Twitter, that's at Eric or Eric. He will make another appearance later in the show. Says, who is the best BYU person in the film industry? What delayed movie release are you most excited for? And you two should do a movie club. Choose a movie, both watch it, and return and report. All right, so before we get to the movie club idea, I don't know enough of the BYU people in the film industry, so I don't have a good answer to that. I know there's a few Pixar people, but I don't know. So
we've got relatives that would probably be much better equipped to answer this question. I got nothing. I really just don't know.
What delayed movie release are you most excited for? And Tenant got pushed back again, and that was one we got hammered on for not having in our summer movie preview, if you remember. Remember when we did a summer movie preview? Actually, it was a 2020 movie preview, but regardless, it now seems redonkulous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah. What did...
We thought we were going to see movies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Can they have to be theatrical releases?
At this point,
because there's some movies coming out like that are gonna straight up stream.
Yeah.
That I'm excited about.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
What are you excited about, buddy? Eric wants to know.
Eric wants to know, huh? What are they watching, huh? I'm interested in this Tom Hanks movie Greyhound that's gonna come out on Apple TV Plus.
Didn't it already come out on Apple TV Plus 2 weeks ago?
Did it? No, it just came out like 2 days ago, and I was gone.
Whatever. Okay. All right. That one looks good. I was going to say Black Widow.
Black Widow. That's a good one.
I'm very excited to see that, and I just don't know. And Randy Whittle has a question for us off Facebook, and you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/writingshop. He says, over under 50% chance we see a new movie in a theater this year. Matt, are you taking the over or are you taking the under on 50?
I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the over. I will see a
movie
in the theater this year.
Anywhere in the United States? Anywhere in the U.S.?
No, I will see it. I will see a movie in the theater before the end of the year.
I'm definitely under.
I'm over.
I don't think theaters can open up where I live, but...
You don't think by the end of the year?
I don't know.
They're pretty close to opening this summer.
I don't know. They are going to play high school football in Texas. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Serious question. Because we're a super serious podcast. We get into the issues.
We do nothing but serious here on the Rise and Shout podcast.
That is correct. Why is a movie theater more dangerous than a restaurant? If you maintain social distance. Like if they do what they had planned to, the national chains, before... It kind of all got shut down. But if they were going to do, 1/3 capacity, or whatever, sell tickets, make people space out. You know, what is that different than a restaurant? It feels the same to me. I mean, yeah, when you exit, you all exit at the same time, right? When you come in, you don't.
Yeah, you got the concessions. The concessions might be an issue.
Yeah, but you don't even have to.
You got to clean the whole theater down, but you have to do that at a restaurant, right?
You have to do that at a restaurant. Quite frankly, it'd be nice if they were cleaning the theater anyway, right?
Hey-o!
Well, I mean, actually, they do a much better job than when we were kids. You remember how sticky the floors were when we were growing up?
Oh, man. We'd go to the Hanover Mall movie theater. Oh, like, you'd finish, your feet would come out of your shoes.
Yeah, yeah. I made this joke about, do you remember that car I had right after my mission? Rosebud?
Yes.
Yeah, what was that one? That one wasn't Rosebud. Rosebud was the car before my mission. It was Margaret.
This was a...
Punch it, Margaret.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And my joke was, it was like a movie theater. There was no leg room and your feet stuck to the ground in my car. And that was a joke because Keith Smith, who listens to this show, spilled, like, the second day I knew the guy, spilled a massive Sprite. Like, it was like a supersized Sprite from McDonald's. He spilled it in the bottom of my car, and I never fully got, like, the sticky out. But you make that joke now. I tell people that joke now, and my kids don't get it because they've never been to a movie theater where their feet stick to the floor.
It's like they've never lived.
It kind of is like that. So back to Eric's question.
Or when you get in a seat you can't see because of the person in front of you, people don't have that problem anymore.
Oh, my gosh. It's nuts. Jeez.
The whole experience is different. I remember going to movies at the Scituate Harbor Theater.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And the theaters were like the size of, I don't know, my mailbox. Like, they were small
How
rooms.
Big is your mailbox?
They were small theaters, was my point. They held like 25 people in them.
Size of your mailbox?
Okay, blah, blah, blah. And so, anyway, if somebody sits in front of you, you're done. You just wasted $6.50 or whatever the ticket cost.
Especially if it was a tall guy. Remember my friend Frank O'Brien, who was 6'6"-ish,
yeah,
and a big guy, wide-shouldered. And we would sit in a movie theater and people would move. If it wasn't full, like when we sat down in a row, no one's sitting behind us. And if they are sitting behind us, they move. And Frank was cognizant. Like, he would try to find a spot where he wasn't blocking anybody. But in those theaters, you know, if it was full, right, the person behind the 6'6" guy is host. You're just going to see a big head.
Yep.
For the whole movie. So Eric's question about a film club, movie club. We could do that. We could pick a movie. I mean, here's the thing. We're going to need stuff to talk about if college football gets canceled, right? Like, you last week were like Debbie Downer, like, it's definitely getting canceled. And you and Jeff and basically the rest of the world saying it's going to get canceled. And me going, no, it's not. Let's be optimistic. That's how I sound.
Because that's how you talk. Yeah, that's your voice.
I'm gonna put a pin in that one. All right, because we may come back to movie club because it may be how we get through the fall is the movie club. And we could alternate. I was already thinking about this. We could alternate weeks picking which movie we watch.
Great. So that I would only watch a movie every other week.
No. So that you could get some choices to pick a movie, you numbskull.
Yeah, and then only watch the movies I picked, because the ones you pick are going to be lame.
Oh, the ones I pick will be awesome. You don't want to watch Ferris Bueller? Stay off?
Oh, all right. I'll take Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
The movies I pick will be awesome. Every movie I love is awesome, by definition. Because I love
okay.
it.
Okay. I don't even know what that means.
Why would I like lame movies?
I don't know. You like lots of lame things.
Oh, my gosh. That's not true. You're right. I'm a big fan of yours.
Hey-oh! Right, Shots fired.
Shots fired. All right. We'll come back to that. I like the idea because we may need things to talk about. All right.
We may have to change the name of the podcast to Killing Time During COVID Show.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right. So, running back position has changed since we last recorded. Devontae Henry Cole, also known as DHC, has transferred without ever having played a game for BYU. Actually, technically, he's been released from his letter of intent and is now believed, according to multiple news reports, to be headed to Utah State. So I guess his goal was, well, I guess the Utes won't be playing Utah State. Do they ever play them anymore anyway? They don't, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't even know the answer to that. But anyway,
I think they've kind of agreed that they don't, that they're just not messing with each other, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and Utah State's, like, they're recruiting different places now. I mean, it's just, I don't know that it does them, either of them, any good to play.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's, DHC is leaving BYU without ever having actually been at BYU.
Did he ever, like, come to practice and, like, work out or anything?
Nothing, nothing. So we had two questions on this. Robbie King on Twitter, that's at RBKing303, says thoughts on the DHC transfer. And then Wade Hillam on Facebook says, Devontae Henry Cole, that's bad news. I feel like he was very much needed, but I guess if we play only G5 teams, we'll be fine in the backfield. We're playing Alabama week one. Duh. We'll get back to that, actually. So your thoughts on you. You have been concerned both this year and last year about the depth at running back. I assume this has you basically panicking, screaming, and running for the hills.
I think we're in trouble, sure. I mean, until one of these guys shows that they can, you know, carry the load, or collectively they can carry the load, it hurts. That's a loss that hurts. The depth that he provided was extremely valuable. Now, do I believe that these guys can't step up? Like, do I believe that Katoa can't be the guy? No, I don't believe that. I think Katoa and Algier both have shown some signs. I think Katoa could be very good. When it was Tyson Williams, I was, you know, I you could tell by looking at tape on that guy that he was going to be awesome for us. Now, I don't see tape on any of these guys yet that put me in that spot, but I'm not saying that Katoa can't be it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Katoa,
I hope that he is. I hope that Katoa is phenomenal. I really do. But we just don't know yet.
I wasn't that sold on DHC. He's not a world beater. He's not Tyson Williams. Okay. So.
No, I'm not even sure he was Emmanuel Isukpa.
No.
But it was another running back. It was depth.
It was depth. Right? And we wish him the best. I have no ill will against the guy. I make whatever decision is best for you, right? Cool. Right? Whatever reason he had, I don't really care that much.
He should go to school where he wants to go to school, and he should be allowed to transfer when he wants to transfer.
Whenever he wants to transfer. So Katoa, to me, obviously, is the guy, right? He was likely to be the starter even with DHC because, you know, learning the system or whatever. We don't know what fall camp will look like, if there will be a fall camp, but his ability to get into the lineup week one was probably not great anyway, right? I mean, play maybe, but not start. But the thought was he could compete for that spot throughout the season, right? And the most carries,
right?
Which is more important really than who gets the first carry. But you look at the rest of this depth. Let me give you, we'll do a little game. We're going to say Katoa we see as at least serviceable with upside. Fair enough?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So I want you to tell me whether you feel like this, I'm going to give you the guy's name and you think yay or nay that he's a breakout candidate. Okay. Sione Finau.
Nay.
I'm going to say yay if he's healthy, which is an if, right? Because he had an ACL injury that he suffered after having a really good start against Boise State last year. Okay. Algier, yay or nay?
Yay. I'm going to go ahead and say yay on Algier.
I'm going to say yay on Algier. He could be a guy. Jackson McChesney, who, by the way, he set a freshman mark and he'll be a freshman again because of the new eligibility rules, which is kind of crazy, right?
The rule is pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's great. Yay or nay on McChesney?
I'm going to say yay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say at this point, nobody else on the roster is an absolute lock for breakout candidate status. There is Hinkley Rapati, if I'm saying his name right, who is a JUCO transfer, and I believe has 3 years of eligibility left. I'm getting this all from on KSL.com, Mitch Harper's article about the depth. So I look at this and I say two things. I think there's some talent here, and there's other guys listed. There's a couple of guys that could break out. We disagree a little bit on who those guys are. The problem here is depth, right? And DHC was not going to be, you know, going to break any BYU rushing records. But he did provide much-needed depth and potentially a slightly different skill set than some of these other guys. I'm not even sure that's true. But any other thoughts on DHC's transfer?
No, I think we'll just who knows what led to that decision. There's a lot of guys here on this list. Maybe the running back room felt a little crowded. I don't know. You know, he's got a clear path at Utah State to start. But you know, there's enough guys on this list here. If you look at the list in the KSL article, you go to the roster. There's got to be a couple guys in here that can get this, that are at least serviceable enough that if we get something going in the passing game, that we'll be okay.
Yeah, and you know, you and I have talked about this multiple times over the last 9 years of podcasting and doing this show. The offensive line determines a lot of this, right?
Yep.
And if the offensive line does well and opens up holes, the running game will be fine. Now, will these guys maximize those opportunities? Well, no, if they're not Jamal Williams, if they're not, you know, a great running back, then no, they won't maximize them, but they'll be there, right? We've had good rushing attacks without, you know, star running backs before, right? And you can do that, and you don't have to have a guy, right? That would be nice. It's always good when you have a superstar running back, better than not having one. But if you don't, my problem, and we've talked about this, you know, in our shows maybe a month ago, is outside of Bushman, I'm worried that we don't have a single other star outside of the quarterback position and Bushman, a single star position player, skill position player. That's my worry. Like, is Romney it? Maybe. Is one of the other tight ends that are talented? Maybe. One of these running backs break out? Maybe. One of the other wide receivers? Maybe. But that's a lot of maybes. I just, you know what I mean? It'd be nice to say we've got three people that can really make some plays and help the quarterbacks out when they're in trouble. And I don't know if we got three guys that can do that or not. We got one in Bushman. But typically, a quarterback's going to need three or four of those guys to have a really good year, even if they're a really good quarterback. So we'll see. All right, our brother Don says, what is the probability of watching a live BYU basketball game before we watch a live BYU football game this year?
I feel like I can only say 50-50 to this. I don't even know what to say.
Oh, it's less than that. Come on. They're going to play college football this fall. They're going to play college football this fall. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how many games they're going to play. But you're not going to cancel an entire college football season, and I know people keep talking about the spring thing. I think you're nuts. Why is Trevor Lawrence thing isn't gonna play?
The spring thing isn't gonna happen. Yeah, the spring thing's not gonna happen. I think you're right. I was on board that train, I think, a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago last we talked about this, but I don't think it's really a viable option.
Yeah, if you're Trevor Lawrence,
Division
One
college football. No, I'm done.
I'm done.
By the way, did you see the picture of Trevor Lawrence proposing to his girlfriend?
I did. I did see that picture, yes.
And that his knee wasn't all the way down? You see this?
No.
So he's down on one knee at the stadium, but his knee isn't quite touching the ground.
He didn't want to get grass stains.
I'm sure it would look like he was wearing a nice suit. He didn't want to mess up his suit, right? So he was just taking a picture. But the funny thing was, somebody put the caption on it. It's a fake. The play's not over.
Here's the thing. How impressive it is to be able to hold that without putting your knee down.
Like, the guy's a phenomenal athlete, right? So I
couldn't do that.
I think I could do that for a picture, sure.
I think I just pulled something thinking about doing it.
Anyway, pulled, yeah, you're right. But spring football's not going to be a thing.
It's
right?
A tough. I mean, I have looked at several different well thought out plans on how to do it. The ESPN one we looked at a few weeks ago was not that, right? And it wasn't meant to be. I'm not poking at the writers. They were just saying, oh, this is kind of high level what it could look like. But if you don't start till February, you're going to end right before the draft, the NFL draft. Now, yeah, the NFL could throw you a bone and push the draft back. But what's their incentive to do that? Right?
They have every incentive not to do that.
You know, and
because this season's going to be some type of, you know, it's going to be something weird and different. And by next year, they're going to want to be getting back to business as usual, if at all possible.
You want to play a bunch of games. You want to start back in school in the middle of the flu season. Right. I mean, there's so many things, and I get it. They may decide to do that. But I just think if they decide to do that, I don't know that you've increased your probability of playing a season or not. Because all of that is banking on there's a vaccine and you can vaccinate all these kids. But here's the thing. If they come up with a vaccine and you've got the first 1 million doses in the U.S., they're not giving it to college football players. Sorry, Grandma.
I don't know.
Sorry, Grandma. You don't get a vaccine. We got to give it to Trevor Lawrence here. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I could be totally wrong on this, by the way. I think I'm right, and I think they'll play some football this fall. But I think the more likely thing is college football just gets canceled for a year, right? Then it moves to the spring. I just don't know. What are you doing, Wisconsin? February is not pleasant, and neither, by the way, is March up there. It's not spring there till like May 1st. All right, enough of that depressing talk. Let's talk about me getting ripped in an email.
Yeah, love it. I love it.
Clayton Smiley has an email, and he just destroys me. Destroys me.
He's got umbrage.
And if you want to email the show, you can do that at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. All right, he says, "Dear Rise and Shout Podcast," starting it off like our friend Simon.
Very polite. Very
nice. And I'm going to paraphrase a little of this because otherwise it's long, Clayton. And that's okay. But I'm going to paraphrase a little bit.
He sent it in an email. He wanted to be very complete with his description of his opinion.
He has a few beefs, which he didn't need to use that. We talked.
He literally uses the word literally in here just to get you. It's great.
I know. He's poking the bear. All right. He feels that you have been unduly pressured to have a mullet. He thinks there needs to be balance. He proposed that if you grow a mullet, I have to shave my head and grow a throatee. A side-by-side picture of Adam's shaved dome with a robust throatee next to Matt's mullet would be one for the ages. I am not doing a throatee. I would, in the right circumstance, agree to shave my head.
Ooh, tell me more here.
Well, if you agree to grow a mullet for BYU making the, what was the original thing? The Sweet 16 or the Final Four?
I don't remember.
We'd have to go back and look it up. But if you'd agree to grow a mullet, I'd agree to shave my head. By the way, I don't want to shave my head. But, you know, like our friend of the podcast, Jerem Jordan, sometimes you say dumb stuff and you end up shaving your head.
Do you know how long it would take me to grow a mullet?
A long time.
It's like at least going to be a 6-month process. I mean, I'm starting from zero.
Do you know how long it would take me to shave my head? 6-month process.
I could have your head shaved in 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah. You've done it before. Not to my head. To David's head, actually.
No, actually, your head would... Your head might take me 20 or 25. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
We'd have to shave it down. Am I bicking this thing? Like, that's going to take us a little bit of time. We'd have to shave it down.
You're not bicking my head. You're not touching my head. Anyway.
It'll be fine. I've never cut myself.
If you're willing to grow a mullet, I'm willing to shave my head.
No. I'm doing it if I get the throatee. The throatee's got to go
in. I'm not doing the throatee. That's gross. It's not a beard if it's
so
on your throat.
So would be my mullet. So would be my mullet. No, it would also be gross.
A mullet is something that people actually do.
Let's Google pictures of people with throatees. That's a thing that people do.
I mean, like, Mike Gundy had a mullet for a long time. You know? And don't we all want to be like him? No, probably not.
Oh, right. These pictures are
gorgeous. Google throatee. That's just
stupid. Yeah.
All right. Next beef.
Actually recommend to everybody that they Google throatee.
All right, that's fine. Next beef is he does not like our soda discussion. He said we dropped the soda discussion too quickly. He would like a PSA from an old curmudgeon like himself. He says he's 50.
He's not even an old curmudgeon yet. He hasn't reached Don status.
That's right. He certainly is not. And this email is way too, like, it's well punctuated and coherent. You're not old curmudgeon
and
yet.
Say get off my lawn a single time. I'm not saying you're not old, Clayton, but you're not a curmudgeon.
All right. So he says basically we messed up with Simon by putting him on the right path to eschewing, which is a great word, by the way, eschewing sugared sodas altogether. Sodas, diet and regular, are nothing but diabetes in a can. Technically, the diet ones lead more to, like, Alzheimer's and other things, right, than diabetes.
They cause you different terrible health problems.
Because the correlation between diet soda drinkers and diabetes is not causation, right? Because there is a correlation if you look at the data. Lots of diabetes drinkers drink diet soda, but also so do a lot of other people. Anyway, he said there are many alternatives to these drinks, including LaCroix, bubbly, gross, Talking Rain. I've never even heard of that. Is that a Prince song?
The band Nelson?
Oh, is that from Nelson? I said Prince, but the, yeah.
It songs about rain. One of them is super famous. The other one was so terrible.
Yeah, and that is a good song, actually.
Those guys were great. The twins, Prince, with the long hair.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. They're much more healthy and have a little bit more than just the fizz. Now, depending on who you ask, the taste is lacking too. But in my humble opinion, it's acquired and a sophisticated taste. I will tell you this. Maybe you are an old curmudgeon and your taste buds don't work. Because those things are gross. Like, and again,
did somebody slap you in the mouth with a shovel? Like, what happened? You can't taste stuff that's good?
Hey, I'm on record as saying, and this I think is just true, some people can convert to these things and other people cannot. If I ever stop drinking sugared sodas, which I probably should, to his point, and Simon, you should eschew all sodas. There you go.
I'll say, Simon, you should take some of Clayton's suggestions here and test them out.
Yeah, see what you like. See if you like the bubbly or the Talking Rain. Like, is that a thing? What is Talking Rain?
I don't know. But
Talking Rain drink.
Time I walk down this aisle, I think
for a bad Google search. No, it's a real thing.
Yes.
Talking Rain waters. Real people who care about real things. They've been around since 1987. Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting.
About half of Don's age.
Sparkling waters.
Actually, wait a minute. That math might work out.
Yeah, that might work out. Careful there, buddy. All right. So, you know, Simon, go test these things out.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that is it. Okay, no. Yeah, not Talking Grain, but Talking Rain. Spelling's important.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Final beef. I just want to keep saying
Le Croix.
Oh, here's my response to his.
I don't even know how to say that. When I go in the store, I'm like, LaCroix? LaCroix. I'm going to go drink some LaCroix.
What's wrong with you? It's LaCroix. It's not that hard.
I took 4 years of French in middle school and a couple years in high school. Not 4 years in middle school because we only had 2 years in middle school. You get my point. 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, I took French.
A lot of people spend 7 years in college. Yeah, they're called doctors. Hey,
I've been going to this high school for 7 years. I'm no dummy. Yeah, that movie.
Yeah.
You know what the street value of the snow is? LaCroix. There's a bunch of famous.
Where are you going? Where are you going? To wash my hands. You'll wash your hands on your own time. Better off dead, folks. A classic.
We've made French fries, French dressing.
Dressing and French.
French bread.
Bread.
And Perrier.
Perrier. All right. Here is my response to Clayton.
Yeah.
There you go,
Clayton. You know what I got for you? I got one of these two for you. Here you go. Oh, there it is.
Nice. Nice. So there you go, Clayton. But thank you for your input. Now, his final beef is a good one. His final beef is comparing Coach Pope and Coach Satake is like comparing apples and oranges. It hypes Pope and diminishes Satake. Satake had a fairly good first year, as did Pope. I would say Pope's year was better in comparison, but fair enough. Satake did have a good year. And we have the benefit of more data. I thought we had said that. Did we not say that? If we did not, that was a miss on our part.
Yeah, because we definitely have said that in our conversation about it. But yeah. I'm pretty sure we said that on the show. It is absolutely apples and oranges as a comparison.
Yeah, and if we did not say, hey, this is a premature comparison, but we're going to do it anyway for fun, then we just misspoke. Because Clayton is 100% right. I mean, it's really easy to take the one-year wonder and say, well, gosh, Satake could just, you know, learn from Pope. When can Pope sustain this even next season? We don't know that, right? It's easy to say, yeah, he did it once. But, I mean, coaching is hard, and we did talk about this. Sustaining a high level of play and a high level in your program is not easy to do. That's why most of these guys get fired and don't retire, right? And then he says, until Pope translates his hype into wins, it's all speculation. I don't know if I totally agree with that because he did have a good season, but I get the point. And he lost to a very mediocre Utah team this year, but did show flashes of promise down the stretch. He's brought in talented recruits, but he wants more data on Pope and less comparing him to Satake. Fair point. Matt, anything for you, from your side?
All very, very, very fair points. What I will say is this: Pope was poised to take this team as deep in the tournament as we've been in a long time, if not ever. So, I mean, I'm not ready to. I understand it's just one season. I understand that, and I absolutely agree that the comparison between Pope and Satake and what they've done is absolutely apples and oranges. I mean, let's not pretend like Pope hasn't done something that's very impressive. Right. Just because it's a single season or sustain it or whatever. But that first year, I mean, it was a good team.
It was a good team. And unfortunately, we'll never know what they could have done in the tournament, which stinks. Right. And we're not the only team that's in that boat where people were humming going into the tournament, right? I mean, it would have been nice to see what they did in the WCC, right? And it would have been nice to see what they were going to do in the NCAA tournament. It stinks, right? So next question is from John Brame, that's at Johnny Dangerman on Twitter. He says, scenario for us. P5 conferences all cancel football and won't allow their teams to compete at all. The only teams that can still play a season are independents, but the TV execs still want a college football playoff, so they schedule it with BYU, Notre Dame, Army, and UMass. Who are the national champs? I'd probably say Notre Dame in that group.
But I think it's Notre Dame out of that group.
We just got to win one game because we're, I don't know, Army could be okay. But assuming we play Army in the 2-3 game and it's Notre Dame and UMass, which will be just a laugher, BYU's got a shot, but I'd pick the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, if I were to gamble on it, which I don't do, I would pick the Irish.
Okay. Speaking of scheduling, Eric, that's at Eric or Eric, is back again here. He says, how full of BS is Tom Homo about Alabama? I love Tom. I think he's a great AD and I support him. But the dangling of Alabama doesn't sound realistic. I don't think it would be talked about this openly were it real. What do you think? Matt, what do you think?
Tom Homo didn't dangle Alabama out there. right? Like a story broke and he responded to some questions on it. He's not dangling that out there.
No, he responded to a direct question and admitted that discussions were happening, basically, is right. what he said. Yeah. This broke nationally. Here's the thing. We went on a wild speculative train last week, right? And we were one of the first people. I had not seen anybody else do this yet in the BYU Sports Landscape. Everybody's done it since. And they did it on BYU Sports Nation the next day. And I'm not saying they copied the idea from us. It was a pretty easy, I mean, it was low-hanging fruit, as they call it.
It was the only thing, right? Right. It was the thing.
But nobody had gone through and looked at the schedule yet and seen who was open, right? And when you look at that first week, it was inevitable that Alabama would look at us and we would look at Alabama. Not that they would, that they will decide to play each other, but it was obviously, if Bama wants to put somebody on their schedule that's got a little bit of national cachet, and also, by the way, that they're pretty guaranteed to beat, we're the perfect candidate. Right, you don't want to play Oklahoma State. You don't want to play North Dakota State. You're not going to play a good FCS team, right? So that leaves us.
Yeah. No. And right? Michigan taught us all that lesson,
right? That's it, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's the only option. There are other options opening up, and they can move things around, right? But it was inevitable that Tom Homo and the Alabama AD were going to talk to each other. That was inevitable, I think, right? And week two, it's inevitable that BYU is going to talk to TCU, Iowa State, you know, Virginia Tech. And, you know, the Alabama AD is also talking to Colorado State and maybe even Oklahoma State, though I don't think they make the choice, and Bowling Green, right? They're going to talk to all of these people that have an open week. But man, it would be pretty awesome. And you know, the TV people would be excited about us in Bama.
Oh, ESPN would have to love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand what Eric is saying, but these things aren't going to happen in secret. They're not going to happen in secret.
When you think about the number of people that are covering a program like Alabama, like their ability to keep something like this under wraps is really difficult. And so you'd have to look at it and say, what's their incentive or level of desire? Like, how much effort are they going to put into not leaking the teams that they would be maybe thinking about filling that slot with? I don't think Alabama's going to even worry about putting a lot of effort into keeping that out of the public view. Well, right? Yeah. So of course it's going to break. So this idea that, oh, this, because this is all like people are talking about it, this can't really be real. I just don't know that I just don't see it that way. Now, do I believe this will happen? I have no idea if this is going to happen or not.
Well, I mean, there's two levels of that, right? The first level is, will it get scheduled? And the second level is, even if you have college football, and we talked about this last week, and I think the week before, you may decide to punt on those first 2 weeks. Right? Just as like everybody may just decide we've got to punt on that because we've got to get some things straight. And we'll find out here in the next week and a half what the SEC decides to do, and then that'll be the domino that knocks over the rest of this. If they say they're playing a full schedule, then I think you're going to find that at the same press conference they announce, you know, or shortly thereafter, all these SEC teams are going to announce who they lined up for week one. But even if it gets lined up, that would be heartbreaking a little bit. If they line this up, they say they're going to do it, and then everybody cancels the first week of college football, right? It'll be interesting.
That'd be the ultimate. We get it all lined up, and it gets canceled like a week later.
How bad do you feel like BYU? Oh, I feel like I missed a question from somebody. Because I feel like we had a question where somebody asked us about, you know, how terrible this would be for, like, Utah fans.
Why do Utah fans care?
Well, I mean, you and I have talked about this. There's a group of fans out there, right, that just don't, it's true on both BYU and Utah. That care, in my mind, too much, right, about the other side. You know, I don't – losing that game to me is a big deal, but it's not a huge deal, right? And if we had decided not to play that first week game and they signed up for Bama, I don't care, right? I don't care. Whatever. Knock yourselves out. I didn't get in with it, but one of our listeners did get in with a guy who was basically saying BYU fans were a lot closer to Bama than they'd like to admit. And I couldn't stop laughing. that Utah's close in quality to Bama. I mean, they had a great year last year, or I shouldn't know, great, maybe too heavy, but they had a very good year last year. Utah did. Do we think they could come within two touchdowns of Bama?
No, they can get rolled.
Yeah, right. And BYU will get rolled too, so don't misunderstand that.
Yeah, no, the question about the BYU-Bama game becomes, do we cross the 50? Is this another, like, New Orleans LSU performance?
Yeah, and it really comes down to if one of our quarterbacks could put on a, you know, special type of game that could keep you in it, right?
Right. And I don't mean that. And I really don't mean to sound super negative about that or whatever. I'm just saying that Alabama team is very, very good.
It will be.
And we've got, you know, and we've got a lot of pieces still moving around offensively.
Yeah.
And you would have, I mean, what is it? It's the end of July. You know, you haven't even really started practice yet. And then you're going to have to throw a game plan together where coaches, you know, theoretically, like a Utah opener, they've had a long time to think about that. They've played that team before. You know, there's a lot you can put into that, but to be able to prep for Alabama as a season opener on notice of a few weeks, I mean, that'd be a tall order for just about any program in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd still be pretty cool.
Yeah. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. I will say this. Having Bama and Notre Dame on the schedule, if things were to work out that way, would be a pretty cool way to make up for losing a couple of games I was looking forward to. I'm not saying we're going to get either of those, but, you know, if you were to score those two games, I'd be pretty – I would say hats off Tom Homo and, you know, maybe not getting to play Pac-12 teams this year isn't that big of a deal. Right.
Yeah, if you get flip a one or two pretty cool games out of this, yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, we've got a game that was requested by Mr. Sweeney.
Sweeney. Yeah, you got two Sweeneys tonight.
That's right.
Two Sweeney episode.
He wants us to play the infamous telephone game. And he's got a bunch of people he wants us to call and leave messages with.
Wow, this is quite the list.
So here's the thing. I'm going to randomly, out of his list, pick one of them for you to leave a message for, and you are going to randomly pick one from his list that you are going to have me leave a message for. Did I just explain that coherently?
Wow, I don't even know what to say.
Wow. I need to record this so that I can just press play next time. Huh. All right. So I'm going to pick...
Recording a podcast.
I'm going to pick one of these. He has Jack Swarbrick, which that's the athletic director at Notre Dame, right?
That's correct.
Nick Saban, Zach Wilson, random U of U fan, happy they aren't playing us now, but hearing we might be playing Bama. Greg Vahar, the new Cougar Club director. Iron Chef Alex Guarnicelli, who thinks a hot dog is a sandwich. All right, so do you want to go first and pick mine, or do you want me to pick yours first? I just coherently said it twice.
So why don't I call and you give me mine?
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to dial, and then I don't know who it is yet.
You don't know who it is yet. You know it's going to be one of these people, but you don't know who it is.
All right, okay. Beep, 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 boop.
Ring, ring. Hello, you reached the voicemail of Nick Saban, head coach at the University of Alabama. I am too busy right now recording commercials that make me seem even more arrogant than people think I am, and planning for the destruction of the SEC and my eventual ascension to the best college football coach ever list. Well, the top of that list. So leave me a message, and I'll, if you're important enough, I might get back to you. Beep.
Hey, Coach. A couple of things. One, I'd be interested in your take on Paul Feinbaum's comment that you do not need to take a pay cut. But that's really neither here nor there. You've always said that you guys will play any team that will come to play you. Nobody really believes that. But looking at the list of opponents available for you, we all know you don't want to play Oklahoma State. We all know you don't want to risk the embarrassment of a North Dakota State in a week one. Okay, we all know you don't want to play that game. BYU is the team for you. All right, that's the team you want to open up the season with. Let's go ahead and get this thing done. Go ahead, call Tom Homo. I know the two of you can work it out. You probably have an AD there, but more than likely you're actually in charge. So why don't you guys get that worked out? Let's get this game on the schedule, and let's play some football. All right, looking forward to seeing Tuscaloosa in about a month and a half. Bye.
So interesting thing, right? Nice message there, buddy. I was looking forward to seeing them play USC that weekend.
Oh, sure.
That could be a fun game. So there's not a matchup that first week that's USC worthy, don't think. And you're not going to play Oklahoma State.
If you're Alabama, you're not going to take that if it's a team you haven't had time to prepare for.
No, and you're not going to play Oklahoma State in Dallas, basically in their backyard. Not totally, but...
Why would you do that?
You're not going to do that. But you play BYU in Dallas, in Arlington, sorry. Texas people who might be angry.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's just because you hate Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Actually, no, I don't. I love the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Houstonians.
I'm just not a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, gosh, no. Who's a Dallas Cowboys fan?
I don't know.
Anyway, hey, speaking of, you said the thing about taking pay cuts. So, ESPN, a few other people have been running articles about the head coaches that are taking pay cuts. Don't you think that's inevitable that most of them, if not all of them at these major programs, are going to have to give some of the money back? Is it worth?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to have massive, because think of it this way. They're going to play college football, if they do this fall. It's going to be with massively reduced or no crowds. And that is a massive piece of the revenue puzzle for college football, right?
Listen, guys, like, just helicopter up a minute, right? I mean, do you know how many organizations on the planet right now are dealing with pay cuts and layoffs to employees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So to think that just because you're worth $100 million and you're Nick Saban and you're probably he's got to be the highest paid state employee in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You think you're immune to that? I mean, the organization you work for is generating less revenue, right? Like, they do not have the budget to pay your salary. So, like, at some point, that's gonna come and get you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. I'm going to dial a number and then
you. It's just economics.
Yeah, it's just economics. But, I mean, it looked like the Major League Baseball players weren't. They ended up coming to their senses, I think, a little bit. But, and I'm not taking the owner's side because the owners handled that terribly as usual in baseball. But, you're going to have less revenue, which means they need to pay you less, right? Because, this isn't – you're not a worker at McDonald's who's making dollars per hour, right? You're making a contract because you're a part of that revenue formula. You know what I mean?
You're a giant line item, right, once they start looking at costs. You're a giant line item.
Especially these college football coaches.
So it's easy to look at it and say, hey, look, like, if we could just cut – like. A little bit out of saving salary. I mean, you probably save. I mean, how many jobs do you save?
Oh yeah, you knock $1 million out. How many people are you for the athletic department? Are you saving?
Yeah,
or the university, right?
Right.
It doesn't have to even be the athletic department, because yeah. Anyway, all right. I'm gonna dial. Here we go.
All right. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello, you've reached the voicemail of John Brian Jack Swarbrick Jr., Director of Athletics at the University of Notre Dame. Leave me a message, and I'll call you back. Beep.
Hi. I've been meaning to talk to you. My name is Clayton Smiley, and I've got a beef with you, Mr. Swarbrick. Because, you know, I'm a big BYU football fan. And did I mention my name is Clayton Smiley? Clayton. I'm around 50 years old, by the way. I've got a beef because I think, you know, a couple years ago, we were going to play a bunch of games against each other. The two independents, you know, Catholics versus members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is longer than Mormons, I realize. But that's what we're doing now. And then you guys kind of just backed out and just have never said anything about it, which is kind of a dink move, really. So I've got a big beef with you. And I also hear you drink sodas, which is terrible for your health, and you shouldn't do that. So it's time to man up. Now you got a chance. Come play the Cougars and come do it in Provo. All right? This is the time, Mr. Whatever your long name was. And this is the year. This is your opportunity to make good on a promise that you have not made good on. Anyway, have a pleasant day. Bye-bye. All right, what do you think?
I love how you blamed your message on Clayton Smiley. That was a win.
Well, we're in a beef, Clayton and I are. Multiple beefs. Yeah,
apparently, point, so you're gonna crank call famous people and leave messages with his return phone number.
That's right. Well, I'll use a burner phone. And just say, hey, this isn't my usual phone.
You have a burner phone, because that's a thing you have. So I had a whole like introduction for Jack Swarbrick that I didn't get it through because I messed up all of his names. Anyway, yeah, but I think you're right. Like this would be the perfect opportunity.
This is the year, man.
Get that thing done, walk away from it, and be done.
Yeah, and they've got a bunch of holes, right? They got a bunch of holes they got to fill. And they're big. I mean, this stinks for Notre Dame football, right? I mean, because Notre Dame football, besides the fact that you're, you know, it's about tradition, right? And Stanford and USC are the tradition. And, you know, they kind of deep sixed most of their Big Ten rivalry games, which is now not looking quite as good, right? But they still have a great schedule. I mean, even without this, they have some good games on there. Arkansas, Navy, Clemson, obviously, in November. But there's an easy thing is for us to play that late November game. And what would be fascinating to me is if we replaced USC on Alabama's schedule and placed USC on Notre Dame's schedule. So be an interesting little thing.
That would be funny.
So are you tempering your excitement for these games, these potential games?
Yeah, just because there's, like you said, there's multiple layers to even getting to the point where you play these games.
Yeah.
There's the working out the contracts to make the games happen. Then there's the do the games in that part of the season even happen. I mean, there's just so many layers to it, and it is so dynamic. I mean, remember a week ago, we're like, man, all this stuff is probably going to break in the next week or so, and we don't know anything more than we knew.
No, that's the crazy thing. I thought I even tweeted this out on Friday. I thought our show would age poorly, right? That it would be fun to listen to because remember those two dummies did this before the SEC announced they're not even playing football this year, right? But it has basically been like silent since then. With I mean the SWAC and you know there've been some announcements about other conferences postponing other besides football, pushing back things. And I think
some D3 and D2 conferences have pushed some things back, but like none of that has any bearing on these things.
No. In the end, like we said, the SEC is going to decide something and then the rest of college football world is going to have to. Now, a friend of the podcast, Matt Brown, has done a really good job with his new Extra Points newsletter. If you guys aren't a subscriber, you should be. But There's been a lot of tidbits in there, and I've seen other reports along these lines. This is a time where if the NCAA was not a spineless, nearly useless institution, where they could step in and really provide some leadership to kind of say, here's what a college football, a successful college football season during this crazy times could look like, right? And you've heard basically nothing out of them, right? And in college football, they have almost no power, right? The conferences have, this is like the 13 colonies before they got together, right? With the Articles and Confederation, like they're just doing the conferences do whatever the heck they want, right? And
are you serious?
It totally is. It's a great analogy. It's a perfect analogy.
Oh wow! I'm not disagreeing with the analogy or its perfect applicability. But that's just like super nerdy.
Thank you. Well, caring about and knowing the history of our great nation is nerdy.
I don't know. This sounds like it's kind of uppity, like someone who drinks Le Croix.
Nope, I'm just drinking a good old-fashioned Dr. Pepper over here. No Le Croix for me.
I don't know what drink you just referenced. I only know Le Croix.
I don't do the French stuff. I'm British by ancestry. So actually, that's partially true. We're also French, right? So
I think we're like everything. I don't know what we are.
That's not true. We're not everything. We're not Russian.
Yet.
Yeah. I say that to the guy that speaks it. Anyway, well, that's our show this week. We'll be back next week. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. We may talk about an all-decades team for basketball, but chances are we're going to be talking football.
Bama.
We want Bama. Well, we did a poll, and 81% said they want Bama.
Who wouldn't want to play Alabama? At the same time, you don't want to play Alabama. But, like, that'd be great.
Well, I think the reasons were mostly getting destroyed. Doing a game where you don't cross the 50-yard line again. I think
the odds of the offense performing, like, that poorly are pretty low. Like, that was a little bit of a perfect storm. There was a lot going on. I think we would cross the 50. Now, I think we lose by multiple touchdowns? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think we would be more competitive in that game than that LSU game. There's so much weird stuff that happened around that. And you look at kind of where, you know, in the team, the development of the team, where the offense was at that point and all those things. Right. I don't think that would happen here. I think this would be more fun than that. And I was in person at that LSU game.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. And I was grateful I didn't go with you in person. Fly down and meet you on that one. Anyway, all right. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. You can, of course, support the podcast at patreon.com/riseandshout. We will be back next week, as I said, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars!